Okay, welcome back to Thursday night. I hope everybody's doing well. This week we're going to tackle a very, very important topic, a topic that actually has come up four times today, which seems to suggest that it's quite relevant around the community. I know, Marvin, you had asked me to talk about this a while ago, but I held off, and I think some of the exciting nuance is going to be worth presenting. Okay. So here we go for the week. I never signed up for this, but it happened to me anyway. I waited months for my turn to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I was so careful to make sure that the dates would not conflict with any dates of Shabbos and Yontif. And just like that, just my luck, a snowstorm struck and my appointment was canceled. They automatically rescheduled me for Shabbos at the site at Kane University. Is there any way I can keep that appointment? What if I walk? Now, for those of you who are listening post facto, who don't regularly join our share, just to give you the lay of the land, and this may become a factor for us to consider. Kane University lies smack in the middle of the neighborhood. It is walking distance from our community, from where most of us live. And one doesn't have to go too far in order to get there. So, first of all, what are the issues that we need to consider? So I'm going to look at the chat, right? So we have to discuss refuah on Shabbos, right? Where does vaccines fit in and where do we fit in? Okay, and we'll talk about whether you should, you know, how one's traveling to get to the vaccination site. That's pretty important, although I think in that may play a certain nuance over here. Amir Lanachri, we'll see how that fits in. So we've got a number of issues to discuss. So let's take a look together and see where things start. Now I want to first begin with a little bit of history about vaccinations. I think it'll be helpful for us to understand. In 1785, Rabbi Avram ben Shlomo Nasich published a small pamphlet, and that small pamphlet is entitled Alei Trufa. That Sefer Alei Trufa detailed the tragic loss of the children, the son and the daughter of Rabbi Avram ben Shlomo Nasich, to two of his children to smallpox. And what Rabbi Avram ben Shlomo Nasich had done at the time is that, otherwise known as Rabbi Avram Hamburg, so he had discovered this concept called vaccination that was becoming prominent around Europe. And he knew it was controversial, but he wanted to arrange to have vaccinations be considered the de jure, that everyone would have a responsibility to vaccinate children, even though there were children who still died as a result of the vaccination. And he debated the question in the process as to whether shave al tase adif, as to whether it was better to do nothing or whether it was better to do something. So historically speaking, he was the first person to deal with this question for a Torah observant Jew. Now, we do know that as far as getting vaccines are concerned, we have a concept called Virapo Yirape. We have a responsibility and an opportunity for a physician to heal the sick, but does it allow him to go ahead and make somebody sick within the process? That got things excited. Now, a lot of others who are not as unknown as Rabbi Avram Hamburger, right? For instance, the author of the Tiferes Yisrael in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. So he, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, argued very much in favor of giving vaccinations, despite the fact that he knew that there was a risk within the process. And in his view, the benefits far exceeded the risks. And others who also advocated for vaccination included Rabbi Mordechai Banet, who was one of the major players at the time, Rabbi Eliezer Feklis, and Rabbi Shmuel HaKohen, all of whom were very, very prominent. Now, that was issue number one, which was very prominent when vaccination started. There was a second issue, and it's the one we probably need to be a little bit more aware of. And what was that? How do we get vaccines? So in the olden days, Jews lived in shtetls. The shtetls weren't so close to each other, despite what we may think, right, and our impression of what Europe was. And in those early days, the injections were conducted by barber surgeons. And the barber surgeons would travel from town to town. They spent a couple of hours in each location. And the question came up, as to whether one could get the inoculation on Shabbos if that was the only time that the barber surgeon was going to be in the neighborhood. Because if you missed it, your children may never, ever, ever get the chance to get that vaccine again. And so what do we do in such a situation? And there were two halachic discussions to touch on. And the first one was, what was the issur that comes into play, giving an injection? And also was whether the person who ostensibly is healthy, but would be subjected to potential loss of health, or what the two of you identified in the chat box before as the basis for the discussion, our conversation, as to what the halachic status is. Is there a question of refuah on Shabbos? Because technically speaking, if there's a chilul Shabbos under discussion, that chilul Shabbos would only be mutar, would only be an issue for those who are sick. And of course, depending on the different levels, we know that we have different levels of sickness that are discussed in halacha. The most prominent sickness that's discussed is the chol sheyesh bo sakana. That's where we apply all the rules of pikuach nefesh, and we allow all sorts of violations of Torah law, except for the big three, in order to be able to save a life. But that's really an impending threat to life. That's not about receiving a vaccination. It's not even for a person who's going to be uncomfortable, maybe has a fever and winds up in bed, right? So we're not talking about that when we are asking about getting vaccinated on Shabbos. We're talking about people who potentially, if they don't get the vaccine, could potentially become sick. Does that count as a level of chola she'esh bo sakana? I don't think so. Does it count as a chola she'ein bo sakana? Maybe. There are certain limitations to what we do for a person who has a chola she'ein bo sakana. We allow dinim derabanan or al yedei shinui, but we do not, amir lenachri would be one method that we would utilize, but we would not allow direct violation of an issur d'oraisa, which will come into play in our discussion perhaps. On the other side of it, if a person has a simple mechush bialma, I just have a little bit of sickness. I'm a relatively healthy person, right? I have a little bit of headache. I fell when I got my injection. I have a bruise. It hurts my arm, right? So if I keep my arm in the same position for extended periods of time, I feel it over here where I fell on my shoulder in the middle of the snowstorm. So does that mean that now all of a sudden, until the bruise goes away or until the pain goes away, that all of a sudden means that I'm a cholish imbo sakana, that I can go ahead and have all sorts of therapies done? Certainly not. I don't think that is the case. I think that you can sweat it out. It's not the biggest crisis. That's called a mechush b'yama. Technically speaking, although Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Yeshua Neuwirth made it most popular, we don't find the reference to a mechush b'yama overtly stated in halacha prior to the modern era in the authors of the and the writings of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, though, because those people are theoretically not sick. And so therefore, that's something to consider. So historically, going back to that period in time with the smallpox issue, the author of the Tshuva Me'av HaChelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet, the Zecher Yosef or Chaim Simen Kuf Dalet, and others all turned around and said, look, if you're in an area that is technically life-threatening, you should at least take on the status of a chola she'ein bo sakana. So therefore, they felt in order to go ahead and give that inoculation, if you have no choice on Shabbos, they would have allowed the giving of the smallpox vaccination. However, let me quote to you from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is Simen Tzadi Aleph Sif Yudches, where the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes and says, look, if you have a non-Jewish doctor who comes to vaccinate children against smallpox, if the Jew can offer compensation to postpone the vaccination until after Shabbos, so then the Jew should go ahead and try to do so. But if not, because the doctor's not going to stick around, or they're going to close the site, and they will not move, so, and it has to be done on Shabbos. In that case, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a Jew shouldn't hold the child. He should let the non-Jew hold the child down. But if a non-Jew is unavailable, the Kitzur says a Jew taka can hold the child if that is necessary. So again, even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who says we have to take a certain opportunity and a certain mindset in mind for us to be able to try to get out of the situation, if we have no choice in the matter, so then technically speaking, it would be okay to allow the guy to go ahead and give the smallpox a vaccination. Which brings us to modern times, when we can begin our conversation about what the deal is with the vaccine here. If you remember a couple of months ago when the vaccine first hit the market in Israel, Israel has been incredible. They have already vaccinated over 3.5 million. They were, as of yesterday, Rav Asher Weiss told us that Israel had already vaccinated close to 4 million people. Unbelievable in such a short amount of time. But when they were first getting started within the process, so the discussion had come up in that situation as to whether one would be allowed to get the vaccine on Shabbos. And the health minister of Israel, Yuli Edelstein, had promised that at the beginning that there was going to be no Chilul Shabbos that was going to happen. And then he turned around and he said, well, we're now going to be scheduling people to get the vaccination on Shabbos. And why is that? He Paskin. Now, Yuli Edelstein, I don't think is a person who is entitled to Psak. He argued that that was Pikuach Nefesh, because the coronavirus endangers all of us. And so therefore, the vaccine, it goes all the way forward. But the most of the Poskim said, I don't think that you can argue Pikuach Nefesh, because it's a question of Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana. Certainly the chief rabbis, Rav David Lau, the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, said that a person does not have rishus to go ahead and violate Hilchos Shabbos to get the vaccine, right? He said that he's very much in favor of the vaccine. It's incredible. Gedolei HaPoskim across the board have been in favor of getting the vaccine. But they argued that if the clinics are not going to be operating during every single hour of every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then you can't justify Pikuach Nefesh for a 9-to-5 to vaccinate people in Israel. If you're taking a break, you're obviously saying it's not Pikuach Nefesh. And so he said, if you want to consider it, call me when we're giving vaccines at 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays. And that's the way things stated. That is the standing understanding in terms of halacha, and so therefore we can't argue just to open sites all over Israel, and that was a position that was taken by Rav Asher Weiss. It was taken by Rav Shlomo Aviner. He said if they aren't working at night, it's serious. It's clearly a serious matter, but it's not a bikuach nefesh, and so therefore even Rav Aviner said the vaccine itself doesn't, the actions make a difference, all right? And so in a place like Israel, where every person who gets a vaccine has to have all sorts of other people who are standing there typing in records, who are standing there, preparing vaccines, who are standing doing a lot of the extra work that is also violations of Shabbos, there I think we may have a problem in establishing the situation. What about not in the state of Israel? What about in the state of New Jersey? So, and now we have to break down what exactly has to happen for a person to receive the vaccine. So in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, the first thing that you have to ask, is there a problem with actually having somebody stick you with a needle on Shabbos? So so Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa paskins, Hazrakas Zrika Tat Orit Otauch Sririt, a person has to understand that if you take an injection, whether it's into a muscle or it's into a vein directly, there is no Iser Torah there, right? But if it's an intravenous, there may be some discussion. The difference seems to be as to whether there's supposed to be bleeding that happens right away or if it's only a possibility of bleeding. If it's a possibility of bleeding, then we can't argue that it's a psik resha. We can't argue. We don't know that it's going to cause bleeding. If we don't know that it's going to cause bleeding and we're not the ones doing it, but rather it's being done to us, there's a very good solid argument that there is no malacha that's being done in that process. And what about the person who stands and gathers data in New Jersey? The majority of the people who are working at these sites are not Jewish, right? And so therefore, you're at worst dealing with a question of Amira Lanachri. But wait a second. Am I really doing Amira Lanachri? No. I don't need the Nachri to gather the data. Why is the person who's working at the site gathering the data? For the government records. For the records to get paid at the site. How many people did we vaccinate today? To make sure that we have some degree of control over the situation. But me personally? Nah. In fact, somebody called me today and they had their second dose delayed because of a snowstorm. And I said, just out of curiosity, when I went, I got scheduled for my shots at ShopRite in Clark. I had to stand there both times filling out paperwork that I'm healthy and that everything. Yeah, this person, you don't fill anything out when you go to Kane, right? That's a government site. The government site is all done on computer. You don't do anything. I said, you have to come with ID. So the person said, yes. So I said, I think that as far as we're concerned, going to Kane, which is in the Eruv, if you walk, you have to walk pretty far to get out of the Eruv coming from our neighborhoods to get to Kane. So I said, just don't walk a crazy route. But if you're walking within the Eruv and you're walking to Kane, which you can do, they will give it to you. You don't have to be in a car, right? And you walk up to the site, right? And you, before Shabbos, separated your ID from all your other stuff. So you're carrying it within an Eruv. So I can't understand where there's a potential for any Isser Shabbos. Is it something I would tell people to schedule a Chatzila? Absolutely not. Because there is a question as to where it fits in the realm of Refuah. It certainly does not reach the level of Pikuach Nefesh, Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana. But it could be argued that it's a Cholosh Ein Bo Sakana. And so therefore it would be mutter, right? But if it's mechosh piyama, we would have said, let it go, try to get a different date. However, once they're scheduling you and they don't give you an option and they're not allowing you the opportunity to switch the date with any degree of relative ease, we're talking already an extra 2 months before you can get anything beyond. So here already, I think that there's a basis, at least within our neighborhood, to go to the site at Kane under these circumstances. I can't see any particular issue that comes into play. So yesterday afternoon, I happened to discuss the issue with Rabbi Teitz, and I presented my argument, and he laughed, and he said, I can't see why you're wrong. I don't see anything wrong with all of your logic. And that is what I would tell people. They can walk there. They should not do paperwork. If the other people are filling out the work for them on the computer, gig isn't they, right? But lechatchila, we probably would hold back just simply because it's not within the ruach of Shabbos, right? So get a different date for the first one. But if they schedule you as a recall and it's a whole headache to go ahead and change, there is basis to allow. And I know that that is one of the discussions that's been going on in the community. And the person who called me today was so surprised. Wow, I didn't think anybody discussed it. So we mentioned it as a potential good discussion for tonight's class, right? And I wanted to put it into play. What do we have to discuss? So what happens if it wasn't a site like Kane University? What if the site was in the middle of, I don't know, Irvington, right? And somewhere all the way up near the factories in Hillside, right? Where you really can't go on Shabbos unless you take some sort of vehicle. Can I drive there? So based on what we're saying, the answer is clearly not. It's not a good idea for a person to drive to get there. Why? Because the drive is to do actual malacha, and you're the person to get the COVID vaccine. I don't see a basis to say, at least not at present, I don't see any basis for a person to argue I should drive. On the other side of it, the shaila was asked by my very good friend, Rabbi Shai Shechter Shalita, to Hagona Rav Asher Weiss a couple of months ago, Rosh Chodesh Teves actually, and he said, what is the deal about going in a car? I guess in the five towns, it's not fancy enough to have a Kane University site right there smack in the middle of the five towns that people can walk to. So instead, what's happening there is that the sites are all not within walking distance of the community. And so the question, he says, look, so he asks Rav Asher, can a person go get the shot on Shabbos? So Rav Asher says, look, in his opinion, he says that to get to do a Chilul Shabbos d'Oraisa, that he says, absolutely not. It's not at the level of Pikuach Nefesh d'Oraisa. All right, and one of the big themes that Rav Asher has been highlighting to us throughout the pandemic is the understanding that you can't argue that any crazy sakana rechoka, some crazy backdoor long-term sakana, that allows us to do Chilul Shabbos now. And we've shared that discussion before in regard to the No Debi Huda and autopsies and other situations. The argument of Pikuach Nefesh has to be an imminent Pikuach Nefesh in order for us to be able to take care, to allow a violation of Chilul Shabbos del Reisa. But says Rav Asher, he says, it certainly, in his mind, hits the status of a Chola She'in Bo Sakana. And for that, we would allow Amira Lenachri in such a situation. And he certainly says, at that point in time, where we were dealing with frontline personnel, and Zakenim and Cholim, people who are ill, people who are frail, he says, in those situations, you know, he said it would be better for a person who, if the person is going to have to travel, to have the Nachri take him, to have a non-Jew take him. He says, as far as getting the vaccine, there is no isser, consistent with what we said before, right? And he says, as far as the data collection, that's being done by a non-Jew. And by the way, that has nothing to do with you. You don't benefit one iota from anything that's being put in. It's the government that wants the records. And so he says that's not called a problem of Amira L'Nachri. So in the end of the day, Rav Asher Paskins, L'Halacha, you know, the travel would theoretically be okay. But I think, you know, again, if it's impossible to avoid. Today we have enough people who are involved in avoiding. So that to do an Iser, even Amir L'Nachri, we should try to avoid it and switch the day. But to say that if you're going to the site in Cain, I think there's enough grounds where if you didn't arrange it that way, the Chathila, that a person would be able to proceed. And so I thought that that was a worthwhile discussion to have. It's a very hot topic in the community right now and was worthy for our sharing. So I think we're going to stop here for the week. Be'ezras Hashem, for the next couple of weeks, our learning is going to be very Pesach-oriented. So next Thursday, we'll begin our two-parter Pesach products and preparation presentation. Next week, we'll spend some time talking about how to prepare the house, you know, and some of the basic cleaning issues and that come up. And we'll keep it to the same time frame, I think, as opposed to bigger years when we spend a lot more time. I hope that the booklet's ready by next week. And then in 2 weeks' time, I have a very exciting presentation that will hopefully be ready. Instead of our annual Haggadah share, we're actually going to be having a group of Chashuva Rabbanim and others who are going to be joining us to share thoughts from some of the great Gedolei Torah and Jewish personalities who have passed over the course of the year. Each one has a close relationship, not only to us, but also to the person that they're going to be presenting. It's already shaping up to be fantastic. The early submissions are already in, and I don't think you're going to want to miss that as well. So I want to wish everyone a wonderful, terrific Shabbos, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll get together real soon. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you.
Take care.